I, of course, am John Sin, and today we're going to be talking about how to have a normal conversation, or use what I like to call social comfort. This is going to be an introduction to social comfort, which is a misunderstood topic, but something that you really need to understand in order to be really good with women and be able to have normal social conversations with anyone. This is really a social skill more than a picking up women skill. It's necessary for picking up women, and I'll explain how that works in just a few minutes, but it's also going to help you have conversations with neighbors, friends, business partners, business associates, work friends, etc., etc. So let's start by talking about what social comfort is. Social comfort is the first stage of any interactions between strangers. It's the feeling out process, if you will. The part of the conversation where you're trying to establish, is this person nice? Are they mean? Are they seeking rapport? Are they breaking rapport? Are they cool? Are they dorky? It's just kind of when you're trying to figure out whether or not you want to talk to this person and whether or not you're comfortable talking to them. So social comfort generally happens in the first minute to 3 to 5 minutes. If you have good looks, style, body language, etc., it's going to help make people more socially comfortable. If you're a little weirder looking, nervous looking, awkward, uncomfortable, have a lot of anxiety, it's going to make social comfort a little harder. But it's impossible to create attraction in the absence of comfort. This is why you hear a lot of stories, both on forums and in marketing materials, about creepy pickup artists. Because what happens is you have guys who are weird, are full of anxiety, have bad style, body language, looks, accents, you know, fat, etc., and they approach women, and rather than making them comfortable right away, they seek to make them attracted right away, and they skip the stage where they're trying to make them comfortable. And without comfort, you can't have attraction. You can't be attracted to someone that you're not comfortable around or who doesn't make you feel okay. That's why if you look at even Mystery Method or some of the more traditional models of pickup, they use opinion openers and what they call quote-unquote indirect openers, because those are a form of social comfort. If you can get someone comfortable talking about who lies more, or jealous ex-girlfriends, you can get them talking to you for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and they see you're not automatically hitting on them, you're not insulting them, you're not rude, you're not violating any social norms, you're not overly seeking rapport and ass-kissing, you're not, you know, being too aggressive, you're not being too anything, really. Being too anything right away generally blows interactions. You want to get girls comfortable and then ratchet up the flirtatiousness and the sexual vibe. But you don't want to start with it right away, because then you're going to blow out most of the girls you approach, and, you know, more than you need to. So what happens is you get guys who don't make girls socially comfortable, and they start teasing, and then they come off like assholes, or they start, you know, going off on these weird tangent routines, and they end up not really making sense and kind of just coming off strange because they skip the social comfort part. If you're worried about coming off strange, creepy, weird, then really work on your social comfort. The better you get at this, the more you're going to come off like a normal person rather than a creepy weirdo. So social comfort is important because, in addition to being the first part of any interaction, it also fills in the space between using tactics and techniques. So yeah, I mean, when you're not going to be using tactics and techniques 100% of the interaction. You know, there's no script that's going to get you every girl. There's no perfect thing to say or anything like that. You're going to have places where you want to use certain routines to sexualize, to start conversations, to tease, etc. But in between that, you want to use social comfort, which is the stuff that we're talking about in this audio. Unlike attraction, with enough practice, you should be able to create social comfort with anyone. So here is where kind of you can say 100% things. You should be able to, when you put your mind to it, get social comfort with anyone, make anyone want to talk to you. Now, that doesn't mean anyone's going to want be attracted to you. Just because girls talk to you, there's a variety of reasons for that, you know, besides them being attracted or being sexually available, which is what leads to getting laid. So, you know, don't confuse social comfort with attraction, but also don't confuse it with being boring. This is not where you're just going to ask questions. It's not rapport. You're not going to be asking where they're from or what they do or anything like that. You're still going to be entertaining, just not entertaining in the kind of attraction-y way. It's a little more normal. It's a little more basic conversation. So once we've established social comfort, we're going to use what I call the toggles, which are mechanisms to move forwards or backwards with women depending on how they're used. The first toggle we'll learn is breaking rapport. That's teasing, going sexual, physically advancing, etc., etc. It's things that break the social comfort that you establish. The reason for this is that once we have social comfort with someone, they have invested a little bit in the interaction. If someone we have no investment in breaks rapport with us, we don't really care. That's why if homeless people insult you, or, you know, fat dudes, or, you know, fat girls, people you don't really respect, you don't really care. However, if someone we have investment in breaks rapport with us, we'll chase it because it's human nature. Social comfort really allows us to build the girl or group's investment in the interaction. Social comfort works on groups as well. When you successfully have a conversation with a group, you generally are going to get social comfort with them first. So that's going to be something to understand. So social comfort happens after the opener. Once you start a conversation with a woman or a group you're interested in, your job is to build social comfort with them. You want to avoid pauses, silences, or opportunities for them to end the conversation. This is where being able to keep the conversation going comes into play. That's a really important skill. It's also something that's very learnable. In my 5-minute chemistry program, I have a whole CD dedicated to just learning how to keep conversations going. It's definitely learnable. You got to avoid pauses, silences, or opportunities for them to go. If they dismiss you right away, that's fine. You know, that just means they're really not interested. So that's cool. That's not breaking social comfort. If they say they have to go to the bathroom or go dance or go meet their friends or whatever and say it was nice to meet you, they're extending the social comfort. They're just ending the conversation, which means they're really not interested. There's not really much you could do. You always have to remember that you approached her. She didn't approach you. So the burden of keeping the conversation fun and interesting is on you. It would be nice if, you know, girls would do 50% of the talking, and maybe every now and then you'll meet a girl who will when she's really interested. But for the most part, we're going to need to keep the conversations going. We're going to need to keep the conversations interesting. We're going to need to keep it moving. And we're going to need to kind of move things into attraction. You know, it's not on the girl or the group to keep our attention, because if they approached us, then their burden would be on us. But since we're approaching them, we're taking the lead to do all of those things. So let's talk about the skills of social comfort, and then we will go through them with a little more detail on each one. There's a lot of them, so I'll try to go quickly here. First part of skills of social comfort are conversational ratios, learning to use questions, social questions, transitioning between topics, learning how to talk about yourself, observing, regional references, current events, pacing, interactivity and check-ins, grounding yourself, relating, using names, talking about your interests, enthusiasm, positivity, genuine interest / compliments, self-commentary, hooks and open loops, role-playing, group dynamics, staying relaxed, being prepared / knowing your presentation, and sharing. So that's 25 different topics, and I'm going to go through each for a couple minutes here, but I'm going to try to get through it as quickly as possible. And I'm just going to kind of start in terms of the importance. So if you're writing these down, I'm going to start with the number one most important of those 25 skills, which is transitioning between topics. You have to transition the conversation forward off your opener. And transitioning, we're just going to define as moving a conversation forward, moving on to another subject. Transitioning is moving from one subject to another smoothly. So you want to transition the conversation forward, and you want to keep it focused on your topics. You know, you don't want to have a 25-minute conversation about generalist girlfriends. You don't want to, you know, spend time talking about a dead relative or her family that doesn't treat her right. You know, you want to make sure that you use these transitions to keep the conversation focused on your topics. When we get to knowing your presentation and your topics, we'll talk about that. So there's five basic ways to transition. Now, I'm sure there are other ways to transition, but these are the five best ways to do it. The first is asking a setup question. Something like, you like karaoke, or have you ever been to New York? Even the dreaded where are you from can be used if it's a setup question to talk about where they're from. So I go, where are you from? And the girl goes, Denver. I can talk about Denver, right? If I say you like karaoke and the girl says yes or no, I have a way to transition into another topic. Setup questions are questions that just transition into a topic you're good at talking about. Second, we have using a phrasal transition. Phrasal transitions are just phrases like, that reminds me of, or it's just like when. Those are great ways to just transition from one topic to another. Another way is to say, check this out, or I gotta tell you about X, and X being a new subject. Phrasal transitions are a great, easy way to transition. Three, making an observation. Observations are a great way to transition. We're even gonna talk about observing a little later. Observations can be real, where I can notice something about what she's wearing, doing, an intuition about her, or they can be canned in the terms of cold reading, routines, etc. Four, introducing yourself. You can only do this if you haven't introduced yourself already, but introducing yourself is a good way to transition and get the girls committing to the conversation. Five, using a warm or cold read. So a warm or cold read is just a intuition, a little thing you throw out about her, like, you seem like you're shy, or I bet you that when most people meet you, they think you're shy, but once they get to know you, they see you're really fun, or I bet you there's one side of you that's really together and with it, and another part of you that's like all over the place. These are just little truisms that are true about everyone, but people want to believe and will really go with. All right, second most important, enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is contagious. If you're not excited or interested in what you're saying, there's no reason for the girl to be. Making sure that you really get into what you're saying to the girl is a big part of delivery. There's really no substitute for this. You'll even find, if you like to use routines, that if you use a routine for long enough, you get worse at it. The reason is the enthusiasm goes off. In the beginning, you're like really excited to try it, so even if your delivery is bad, you're like really into it. You know, in the middle, you've got it really honed, so you know where the enthusiasm goes and how to kind of talk about it. But as you get more and more bored of it, it becomes harder and harder to use because the enthusiasm wanes. So it's best to try to talk about things that actually genuinely get you enthused, but if not, you have to fake it. And you know, it means you have to fake it with your body language and your voice and your face, which means you're smiling, hand gestures, really paying attention to the words, making lots of eye contact, et cetera, et cetera. Enthusiasm really is contagious, so the more you're into it, the more girls are going to be into it. Maintaining a proper conversational ratio. Like I said before, you approached her, so the burden of keeping the conversation going is on you. In the beginning, expect to do around 60 to 75% of the talking in the interaction. That means at least two-thirds of the time you're going to be talking, and probably three-fourths. So you don't want to rely on asking her questions or on her volunteering information on her own. You know, one of the ways to transition is through her input. I didn't list that in the five best ways to transition because it relies on the girl doing something. which you can't rely on girls doing something because every girl is different and is going to react differently. But if she volunteers information, by all means, use that, but make sure you fill all awkward silences. Even if you have to ask questions. Asking questions, complimenting, all the things that we tell you not to do up front are better than standing there in silence. Standing there in silence has a 100% fail rate, as does walking away early because you can't keep up enough things to say. So as long as you can keep the rap going, you at least have a chance. So, you know, don't be afraid to toss different things out there to keep the conversation up. You know, there's no need to be consistent in what you're doing. You can get sexual and back off. You can be funny and engaging and then aloof. You know, you can try different things. You can be really aloof and then try being really engaged and rapport seeking. There's a lot of different options out there, and a lot of guys just try one thing. Using questions. So if you listen to any dating kind of product or advice, 9/10 of them are going to tell you not to ask questions, and then 1/10 of them are going to tell you to ask a lot of questions. Asking a lot of questions you probably have tried with girls and doesn't work very well. The reason is based on the law of reciprocity, which is discussed by Robert Cialdini in his book Influence, which basically says that people are more likely to give you something when you give them something first. That's why almost every internet marketer and pill company and supplement company is willing to give you the first month free or 7 secrets when you sign up for an email list, because they know that the more you give up front, the more likely people are to give on the back end. So it's important to understand how this works with questions. Questions are kind of like money in a bank, except you don't really know what the balance is. It could be $6, it could be $600, depending on the woman. You have to really gauge how the woman's reacting to you asking questions. And you want to generally make sure that if you're going to ask questions, you ask them for a specific purpose. You don't want to just ask questions to fill time if you can avoid it. Now, if that's the only thing you can do, then all right, cool, do it. It's better than standing there in silence. But remember, you're debiting that bank account all the time with each question. You're taking a little money out of the bank, not knowing how much is in there. So in social comfort, there are really 3 purposes for asking a question. The first is to set up a story or topic of conversation. We basically covered this in the idea of asking a setup question with a transition. So, you know, do you like karaoke? Have you ever been to the beach? You remind me of my friend, Sarah. She's from North Carolina. Are you from the Carolinas? You know, stuff like that exists so that I can move the conversation forward on my terms rather than hers. The second purpose of asking a question in social comfort is to tease. So here again, we can use the dreaded where are you from, what do you do questions, as long as I'm going to make fun of what she said. So, you know, I can say, where are you from? And she goes, Bakersfield. And I go, oh my God, did you live in a double wide lake trailer or a single wide? Bakersfield is white trash. Do you ever hadn't gotten to a, how many fist fights have you gotten into with your mom at barbecues? I can tease. I can ask, what do you do? And she goes, oh, I'm a teacher. And I can go, oh my God, you must get sick all the time. You probably have like gross stains all over your clothes. Teachers are gross. My mom was a teacher. Teasing. That's one reason to ask a question. You can ask any question if you make fun of her answer and you are breaking rapport. So you're trying for attraction now, but it's a pretty safe bet, especially if what you say is funny. The third reason is to relate and build commonalities. Commonalities work anywhere they're built. And in fact, if you read any mainstream psychology books on what builds attraction besides proximity, which is being around them, it's commonalities, having things in common. We'll talk about that more in the idea of relating, because that's a really powerful social comfort skill as well. One more tactic when it comes to asking questions is the idea of turning questions into statements. Instead of saying, where are you from, you could say you seem like an East Coast or West Coast girl, depending on whatever coast you're on. Instead of saying, what do? You could say, you remind me of my first teacher. You're a teacher, aren't you? Or you wanted to be a teacher.
And then what's going to happen is either you're right and the girl is impressed, or you're wrong and she wants to know why you thought that, at which point you can cold or warm read her, tease her, or otherwise appropriately move the conversation forward. So that's another good tactic. But again, in social comfort, you want to make sure that the questions you ask set up stories or topics of conversation, tease, or relate and build commonalities.
All right. Now, there's one more type of question that you can ask in social comfort, which is the exception to those three rules. These are questions that are basically placeholders in conversation, but don't affect your social comfort negatively. Some examples would be, if I'm at the mall, I can go, what are you doing today? Shoe shopping? Or who are you shopping for today? If I'm out at a bar or a club, I can say, what's on the agenda for later? What are you celebrating? You know, are you guys somewhere before here? What's the after party plan? Who do you guys know here? All of these are just merely placeholder social conversation questions. So you can also ask those and any other question you think of that kind of fits into that idea of just the placeholder, situationally relevant questions. All right, group dynamics. You need to make sure that if you approach a group, you neutralize them. They don't need to love you, but they do need to actively not want to cock block you. So you basically do this with compliments and rapport. You can be super nice to everyone but the girl you're attracted to. The girl you're attracted to, you're going to tease. You're still going to be nice to her. You're not going to be mean to her. A lot of people, I think, misunderstand the idea of group dynamics and that they should be like nice to everyone, mean to the girl they're into. You don't want to be mean to her. You just want to tease her and not tease anyone else. That's kind of the idea. You don't need to be super alpha. If someone there is like more into leading the conversation and they're kind of letting you just talk to the girl, that's cool. That's the idea. That's the goal, you know? There's always going to be the chance in a group, whether you disarm them or not, that the girl will get grabbed at the end of the night. That's just risks of playing the game. Hopefully, if the girl's into you enough, she won't go. But it goes both ways, you know? So it's important to understand that you don't need to be mean to the target girl, but you do need to be super nice to everyone else. So the basic idea is you just want them to think you're a nice guy. You don't want them to think you're super alpha or super cool or even super interesting, you know? Because the idea is to just disappear with the one girl. So you just want them thinking you're a nice enough guy so that you can get the girl by herself and escalate. That's how you get laid in bars and clubs. All right, staying relaxed. It's really important to maintain relaxation during the approach. To this end, you want to make sure when you're in an interaction, you continue to breathe. You'd be amazed at how many guys just go into an interaction, go, they stop breathing, and they start freaking out. So it's really important that you keep breathing. In fact, that's what I focus on for the first couple minutes when I'm approaching, is just making sure I'm breathing, making sure I'm staying relaxed, making sure I'm not speaking too fast or being too twitchy or, you know, too all over the place or manic and nodding too much. You know, all these things that happen when you're nervous or you just have too much energy. So you want to relax, breathe, focus on your breathing. It may be helpful for some people to do 15-second breaths, which is 6 seconds inhaling, holding for 2 seconds, and exhaling for 7. That's a technique I've taught on some of my approach anxiety courses, but it can be really helpful to do that as you're talking, especially once you get good at keeping a conversation going and you can kind of focus on what you're thinking and what's happening at the same time. But yeah, that's a big, big part of this. You want to make sure you kind of keep your feet grounded, slow things down. The slower you can go, the better things are going to work. So try to keep everything relaxed and slow once you're in the approach. Observing. Learning to become a more observant is one of the best skills you can develop socially. And there's really no grace to learning how to observe. I had like a list of categories of observations you could make. It's really just a hard knock university kind of thing to learn. You're going to have to first start blurting out your random observations and conversations with strangers and people you know. You know, if you notice something, you try to make them positive. You don't want to just be, like, dissing people. If you hate your friend's haircut and you're like, oh, an observation I have is your haircut sucks. So try to keep them positive, but just start trying to find one thing in every person to observe on, you know? Like, you know, if you notice your friend's more twitchy or nervous today, make a note of it. No, make an observation. If you notice that your friend is wearing an outfit that makes her look good, no comment. You know, observe. You want to try to keep the observations about the girl, the group of people in the environment in itself. You don't want to just come up with observations about human nature. You know, it's not a Seinfeld bit. You don't want to go, what's the deal with lunch, brunch? It's neither breakfast nor lunch. You know, you don't want to have it feel like a stand-up comedy bit, but observations about the person you're interacting with, the group, and the setting, the environment, are always a safe bet and are always going to get a positive reaction. Regional references. This is a kind of basically my way of saying know your city. Knowing and being able to talk about anything regional, whether it's clubs, bars, sporting events, new openings of art galleries, new malls, you know, new public transportation options, new fairs, like shows, markets, anything local that's going on that you can talk about is going to help with social comfort because it's an easy bonding point. You all have the same kind of thing. Like, everybody talks about traffic and weather in LA, right? And their workout regimen. Those are like the regional references. In New York, it's like weather, but the opposite, talking about how terrible it is. And, you know, hustling stuff, new things that have happened. Miami, it's, you know, DJs and clubs, etc., etc. You gotta know what's going on in your city socially. Like, there's usually papers, like in LA, it's the LA Weekly. But get a weekly paper, be up to date on what's going on. Even if you're not going to the events, at least knowing what they are will help you in your social comfort conversations. Talking about yourself. Okay, so here's something that may be shocking to you, but in general, when we're talking to strangers early on, we're going to be talking mostly about ourselves. Now, we want to avoid coming off like we're bragging or using too much self-deprecating humor. You have to stop being afraid that people aren't going to like you and give them a choice about it. You want to kind of get the cliff notes out about who you are as quickly as possible. You know, it's going to be something we like to call grounding, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute as the next skill. But understanding this is a key switch because a lot of people do not understand this idea that you should talk about yourself. They think like, okay, well, I don't want to talk about myself because that's like bragging or I don't know, I don't like doing it for whatever reason. But if you're going to be successful with women and generally with selling yourself to people, which is what social comfort is about, you're going to have to talk about yourself. And some people aren't going to like it. You know, some people aren't going to like you or feel threatened or jealous or you bring up some sort of insecurity for them or they just don't think you're cool. But that's their choice. You know, our job is strictly to give them a choice, to meet them, let them know what we're about, and then give them the choice to basically like us or not. But we have to express who we are. That's a big fact in kind of social interactions that a lot of nice guys have an issue with because they think it's wrong or bad or they just don't like to talk about themselves. So you got to get over that. Grounding. The easiest way to talk about yourself is through what's called grounding. This is where you take real stories from your life and explain how they shaped your behavior. For example, I'll say something like, since I grew up with sisters, I've always been on the other side of the fence when it comes to understanding women. That's one of the reasons that I have so many female friends and aren't afraid of new girls. Here I'm grounding myself for kind of coming off like a player. I'm explaining why I come off like a player so that girls aren't taken aback and don't, you know, freak out that they're doing things with me that they feel like I would do with any other girl every weekend. This is a big part of talking about ourselves, is figuring out how to ground ourselves so that we make sense of who we are and girls can understand where we're coming from, rather than just kind of presenting ourselves and hoping they understand or figure it out. Positivity. In the beginning, and especially with super hot girls, you have to keep it positive. The more positive you are, the harder it will be for people to blow you off as well. Yeah, it's like, I'm not the greatest example of this because I'm very sarcastic and abrasive, but that's me. This is one of those situations where I get to say, do as I say, not as I do. And basically, you want to avoid the urge to build rapport by bitching about things, complaining, or shit-talking others. You know, it's one of those things to keep to yourself. And while it can be fun and get a reaction of people saying, oh, you're so funny, or this, that, or the other, it's not generally that helpful. So it's important for you to make sure that you are as positive as possible. Interactivity and check-ins. So here's another creepy thing pickup artist guys do that we want to avoid. They will talk in these long monologues. The speed seduction guys are even worse because they have their patterns and those things are really, really long. And they'll do all this without any interaction at all from anyone else. So instead of just talking at people and blabbering like a crazy person like I'm doing in this microphone jack, we want to periodically check in with the girls to make sure they're following and relating. So we can check in with saying something like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Or, you've been in a situation like that. Or, right? Or, crazy, huh? Or, you know what I mean? Anything like that is easily going to be able to relate. And people are going to continue to check in. So that's something to keep in mind. Using names. As cheesy as it sounds, people do love the sound of their own name, especially friends of the girl you're hitting on. Be sure to use names as much as possible in a situationally relevant way. You don't want to go overboard on this. Like, there's a scene in That 70s Show where Fez, the foreign guy, like, reads some How to Pick Up Chicks books from the 70s, which is funny that there were books like that in the 70s, but makes sense. And it says the same thing to, like, use names. So he's like, hello, Jackie. How are you doing today, Jackie? Are you good today, Jackie? Or are you having a bad day, Jackie? Like, don't overdo it like it's every sentence. But making sure you remember people's names is a big part. There's a famous story in the MMA community of a fighter named Jake Shields who, I guess him and another fighter had picked up some girls. And they were going back to their house. Near stoplight, and the girl goes, when we get back to the house, you can do whatever you want to me, as long as you can do one thing. Tell me what my name is. And the guy, Jake, gets out and runs from the stop sign. He knew he was beaten, knew he couldn't do it, didn't remember her name. So it's important that you remember names. I've had girls be not interested anymore because I couldn't remember their name. So it's important to remember and use names as much as possible. Hooks and open loops. Hooks and open loops build investment by baiting women into asking questions. Example, I'm totally in the wrong business because, If I say that to a girl, the girl's going to go, oh, what business are you in? And now I can talk about myself. The cool thing about hooks and open loops is that it's not really bragging if someone asks you about something. So the more we can bait women into asking questions, the more we can brag. I could say something like, I've got to tell you about the time I'm in India. And they're going to be like, wait, India? What? Or I can say, you know, we'll get into that in a sec. And I can hold it off, you know, keep it an open thought. An unfinished thought is an open loop. So anything that's a thought that's unfinished is useful. Current events. Being up to date on what's going on in the world is a great way to build social comfort. If you're specifically trying to tailor it to young women, you want to focus on what's going on in the girl-relevant worlds of pop culture, fashion, movies, TV shows, etc. But know what's going on. Have like a grasp on the world. Pacing. Pacing is a majorly powerful psychological tool. Pacing is all about showing the girl that you understand what's going on in the given situation. If you can pace a girl's reality well enough, you become an authority figure and can start telling her how she should act. Pacing is all about showing them you understand. So really, part of pacing is listening, and part of it is retelling the girl what she just wants to hear, basically, or basically what she just said, rather than just kind of trying to pace the speed at which she talks. You can also pace the speed at which she talks by mimicking the speed at which she talks, the things she talks about, etc., etc. Pacing is really powerful because if you pace someone, then eventually you can lead the conversation, and that's really what we want to do. Being prepared. You have to know what your good conversational topics are and steer the conversation towards them. So basically, everyone's going to have five or six things they're really good at talking about, and, you know, a bunch of stuff they're not that good at talking about. So what we want to do is we want to figure out what those things that we're really good at talking about are. So, and we also want to figure out what we like talking about, because that's another important thing. Like I said, enthusiasm is contagious. If you're not enthusiastic about what you're talking about, it's going to be really hard to get people interested in it. So right now, if you don't know them, make a list of 10 things you like talking about. Also, make a list of 10 things you want women to know about you, right? Remember, we're going to be talking about ourselves. We talked about grounding, and we talked about the idea that we're talking about ourselves, you know? It's all about us. We're going to be kind of narcissistic and talk about ourselves because that's what works. And lastly, you want to write down a list of 3 things you could learn more about that women are interested in. That's basically what we need to know conversational topic-wise in order to have good conversations with women. So you get those 10 topics each, 30 topics total. You go out and you use them, and you'll see pretty quickly you like some of them more than others, and that there are things that you bet you do better than fucking other things that you don't like as much. And those will basically be your conversational topics. And that's how you figure out what those 5 or 6 things you're really into talking about that lead to dates and sex are. Role-playing. Role-playing is the art of creating a fun, mixed-up fantasy world for the girl. In role-playing, you assign everyone a role and then act them out. This allows women the distance and objectivity to do things they normally wouldn't and to play around. For example, I could roleplay with 2 girls that one of them's the good girl, one of them's the bad girl. That one's an angel, one's a devil. You know, if they're younger girls, I could roleplay with them about Ninja Turtles and, you know, cartoony fun things like that and assign people different roles. If they're a little more sexual, I can joke about them being my booty bitches and putting them up on the hood of my car in a low-ride video in LA, etc., etc. It's really kind of up to me and the vibe I feel between the girls. Relating. Relating is a rapport tactic used to play up the commonalities you have with another person. Anytime you have a chance to relate something a person says to something about yourself, whether it's an experience, story, joke, etc., the more they're going to feel connected and understood.
the more it seems like you have in common with someone, the more they're going to feel like they know you, the more they're going to feel like they understand you, and the more they're going to want to either let you hook up with their friend or hook up with you. So it's really important to relate your experience to other people. Talking about your interests. So this is where those lists we had you make earlier come into play. Don't be afraid to talk about things you like to do, that you were doing recently, or are planning on doing soon. When people meet you, they want to know what you're into. They want to try to figure out what kind of person you are so they get an idea of what they're dealing with. That's really important when it comes to meeting people, because people are going to classify you and they're going to look for things that you have in common with them. By talking about your interests and about yourself, you give people a chance to have things in common with you, especially if you talk about things that are regional, current events, etc., that most people know about. You want to make it easy for people to understand you and your interests so that it's easy for them to understand if they want to be associated. Genuine interest and compliments. Genuine interest and real compliments do make a difference, but you know, you're not going to be able to get the same results having a canned compliment that you say to everyone or anything like that. It's going to be much more difficult if you're looking at this tactically than if you're looking at this as a way of trying to ask yourself, you know, what's cool about this girl or group, or, you know, what do they really, really want to hear that would make them really happy? You know, these are kind of the things that you should be asking yourself to come from a place of genuine interest and genuinely making people feel better about themselves, rather than looking at compliments as kind of a tactical thing to do to make people like you. Sharing. Be willing to share things about yourself. By having strong opinions, you encourage other people to have a discussion whether or not they agree with you. When in doubt, share something about yourself, even if it seems weird. And for men, sharing and talking about themselves or talking about what they're thinking or feeling, which we're going to talk about next in the idea of self-commentary, oftentimes feels strange and feels like it makes you vulnerable or weak or some combination of things like that. But it really doesn't. And like I said before, it gives people a chance to understand you. All you can do is put yourself out there. You know, there's no magic pill. Like I said, social comfort you should be able to get with everyone because most people are nice. The people who, like, reject your social comfort, it's generally something about them and not you. And I'm not even saying that to blow smoke up your ass. I'm just saying that people who don't want to just have a friendly conversation generally have social disorders. You know, because there's no reason for it. To just be a dick for no reason, I'm, like, not the nicest person, but if you try to talk to me in a nice way and you don't come on too strong or ask me for things or weird me out, all these things which social comfort stops us from doing, I'm not going to be mean to you. And like I said, I'm not very nice. So if I'm willing to do that 100% of the time, you're really not going to have problems. And when you do, it's really more on them than you. Last, self-commentary. Don't be afraid to talk about the situation itself. Either offer commentary on how you're doing with the girls, whether it's good or bad. For example, I'll say things like, oh, she didn't like that joke at all. Back to the beginning. Or, it's okay, you guys like me now, so I can say whatever I want. You know, recently I was talking to a girl when my friend started a conversation with her friend, and she was looking at me all crazy, and I was like, what, did I just kill your dad or something? Like, why are you looking at me like that? And that broke the ice. So don't be afraid to comment on what's going on. You know, like, everyone kind of knows, but it's kind of socially not done to comment on it. Fuck that shit. Like, that works. All right, so let's recap. We went over what social comfort is. It's really the first stage of any interaction, the feeling out process, and the place in between tactics, techniques, comfort, sexuality, rapport, attraction, qualification, and all that crazy shit. We also went through the skills of social comfort, which were conversational ratios, using questions, social questions, transitioning between topics, talking about yourself, observing, regional references, current events, pacing, interactivity and check-ins, grounding yourself, relating, using names, talking about your interest, enthusiasm, positivity, genuine interest / compliments, self-commentary, hooks and open loops, role-playing,
group dynamics, staying relaxed, and being prepared, knowing your presentation, and sharing. So that's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I tried to keep this as short as possible, but as an exercise, I would like you to pick 6 different tactics to practice. When you go out, you will practice 3 at a time. You will not add a new skill you are using until you are using the other ones on every approach. So that's the way to practice this to get really good at it. You do that for like 8 weeks and you should be able to master all of the 25 skills contained herein, which, you know, should be more than enough time. Most people will probably do it in half that because this stuff's pretty easy, especially if you're actually out there approaching girls, which you all should be. Thanks for listening, and be sure to check out our video and the accompanying newsletter. Talk to you soon.